huddle up.
66 HitchX Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby. Boom.
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Well, we're in the thick of week five of the NFL season. We got a lot to talk about, including a game going on in London right now where the Browns went right down the field. They were able to score, take the first lead, but the Vikings just responded. That game is tied up at 7 apiece, closing down that first quarter. Vikings-Browns. It's Colin Russo, Cade Chumsen with you. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. We're on ESPN 106.3. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm, where you can see our pretty faces. And you can watch us where we got you for the next 1 hour up until 11 p.m., up until Miami Dolphins pregame today. The Miami Dolphins, who no longer winless, going to, on the road to take on the Carolina Panthers. Talk about a battle of teams that are reeling. The Carolina Panthers coming off one of the worst losses I think I've ever seen last week in terms of how they played the New England Patriots last week. What was that, 45-13, and then you had the Miami Dolphins, who now without Tyreek Hill for the rest of the year, look to build off a little bit of momentum that they built on Monday night last week. We're presented by Hard Rock Bet, where you can download that app today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Hard Rock Bet is the place for the new player and the experienced player. You're in the thick of the MLB postseason, so you can bet game by game, but bet player props there. You had a great college slate yesterday, including Miami, University of Miami, taking down Florida State pretty handedly over up there in Doak at in Tallahassee. So you had that. You have all the NFL games that you have throughout the entire day today. There's just too much to watch, and there's too much fun to be had. There's too much action to get in on the Hard Rock Bet app, which has it all. So you could parlay things together. You could check out the promo boosts and profit boosts. If you join the app now, you get and put $5 in, win that first $5 bet, you get $150 in bonus bets immediately. It's that easy. It's the Hard Rock Bet app. The interface is perfect for the new player and the experienced player. Go check it out today, right now on the App Store. Hard Rock Bet is offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21+. Physically present in for the wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. All right, in terms of the games today, there's a lot of implicating games because now in week five, a couple teams are on bye. But more importantly, you got teams that are, you know, 1-3, the 0-4s, the 2-2s. This is sort of that first quadrant of the NFL season that is now behind us. And for those who want to make the argument that, you know, hey, these teams are getting injured and these guys are not ready, the offensive line play is not good, there's too many flags, that's usually chalked up to the fact that they don't practice enough going in, they don't play enough contact going in. Well, all those excuses go out the window after 4 weeks. After a month, these teams should now be in the flow of the season in terms of getting on their game or lack thereof. Now, the first quadrant is done. The Baltimore Ravens are 1-3. The Baltimore Ravens are also going to be without Lamar Jackson, their star quarterback. They're taking on the Houston Texans today, who just got the monkey off their back, so to speak, and took down Tennessee last week. They're at 1-3 and played a little bit better than what we've seen. Cade Chumsen is our producer behind the glass today. He's a Texan fan. They're taking on the Baltimore Ravens. I said this last week. I'm on the team that Baltimore win or lose that week, that game last week against Kansas City was fine. That was without me knowing that Lamar Jackson would be out for 3 weeks. Things change now. This is now a very important game for either team here because the Texans win, they stay alive. And if Baltimore loses, I mean, there's only so many games you could lose before I continue to say that you're okay.
And I think an equal bigger problem for the Ravens right now is not only are they without their star quarterback, they don't have their star defense to back them up. They are statistically the worst scoring defense in the NFL.
Yep, by far.
Allowing over almost
30 points a game.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I'm not saying that the Texans' offense is that much, but you can't rely on that defense to be able to back up your backup quarterback. So not only are they having to deal with that 1-3 record, they can't even guarantee that they're going to stop the other team just to have a prayer for their offense. Now, if there's one thing that can beat the Houston Texans, it's Derrick Henry. He's done it. He had a career of it in Tennessee. He's doing it in Baltimore as well. He's played him a few times. So I'm not getting my hopes up as a Texans fan. I hope we play well. I hope the Texans play well. I hope that the offensive line can actually know what they're doing. They had a highlight last week that made every single not top 10 imaginable. Mm-hmm. Cam Robinson is now gone. So that is going to help them a little bit, I sure hope. So it's going to be a gritty, I believe, low-scoring battle with the Texans having the number one off defense in the league, but you really don't know what you're going to get out of Cooper Rush. Are you going to get his star play from Dallas, or are you going to get someone who's a little bit more skittish when he gets all of that pressure in his face from the Houston Texans defensive line, which is playing out of their minds right now? It's a miracle that they are playing as hard as they can with how low of a production the offense is giving them. So big, momentous occasion for both the Houston Texans, who are trying to just stay alive in that AFC South, which we all thought that division was going to be one of the weakest in the entire NFL, and that the Houston Texans were just kind of roll all over it again and make it their way to the playoffs. The Indianapolis Colts are looking like a top five team. The Jacksonville Jaguars are also sitting 3-1. So the Texans need every single game they can get from here on out. And if you're the Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers aren't slowing down anytime soon, and the rest of their schedule is ridiculously tough. This is almost the make-or-break season game for both of these teams, even if Lamar Jackson comes back healthy in later weeks.
And to put a little context into it, you want to talk about a team that has the injury bug. Look no further than what San Francisco has. But number one, Roquan Smith is out today. Jadobe Awuzie is out today. Lamar Jackson is out today. Marlon Humphrey is out today. How about this? Kyle Hamilton did not practice on Friday, is questionable for today. Ronnie Stanley, questionable for today. Matt Abwike, we know, is one of their best defensive linemen. Hasn't played in weeks. Not playing again. They got nobody. They are completely battered. So now this turns into do you trust a battered and beaten Raven offense with a bad defense to begin with against a terrible Texan offense but a good Texan defense? Texan defense is good.
Oh, yeah.
So do you trust, you know, Cooper Rush and company to be able to deal with the Texan defense better than what that Raven defense can deal with a bad Texan offense? I would favor the Texans here. I would, and this is a tricky spot if you're Baltimore, because not only are all these guys hurt, so you almost can't blame them if they lose this game, but you're home, you get the Rams and the Bears coming up next week and the week following, and the Rams are going to be coming off a long week where they played, they had a bad loss on Thursday Night Football. I said they were okay last week if they lost to Kansas City. I didn't know they wouldn't have Lamar Jackson and Roquan Smith and maybe Kyle Hamilton and all these guys. This changes things. This is a must compete for Baltimore, because if they're able to steal this shorthanded, they're going to be completely fine.
And if you're a Texans fan like myself, you have all the right in the world to be excited about today's game, because if you look at the schedule, you're almost chalking this game as a loss. I mean, you saw what they did on Christmas Day last year. It was
it almost allows them to. You're making up a game on the schedule that you've already lost.
You're supposed to be, but if there's one coach that can beat the Houston Texans who's not in the division, it's Jim Harbaugh. Go back to 2012. Go back to 2010 when Ray Rice and Joe Flacco were taking care of the Texans in the playoffs. He has had a handle on this team no matter who has been in this lineup. I am very much scared of a Jim Harbaugh or a Harbaugh team in general led team. So
did you see more from the offense last week?
Not really. Woody Marks is a phenomenal running back.
Right, and he's sort of come out of nowhere. He's going to be a big piece of that offense.
Yes, so a running attack that I thought was going to be hurt with the loss to Joe Mixon has exceeded my expectation.
There's always somebody waiting in the wings. Yeah.
Is C.J. Stroud still playing up to the level he's supposed to be? No. Is the offensive line giving them any help? Absolutely not. But the fact that you have now a little bit of a rushing game to back yourself up on, it's the reason that they lost the game to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Couldn't rush to save their lives against the Bucs. Had to throw the ball. Offensive line wasn't helping. And it just turned into a disaster type of a game. When you have last week, especially in that fourth quarter, I mean, that game was like 9-0 going into the fourth quarter, and then an offensive explosion happened. But to see a rushing game actually work, you go to every single NFL team right now who's at the top of the charts. They have some sort of rushing attack. The Chiefs were absurd for just relying on Patrick Mahomes when they were making all of their Super Bowl runs. You almost cannot in the NFL rely 1,000% on your quarterback. The Houston Texans had to do it in the first 2 weeks. Couldn't happen. Now, or the first 3 weeks, I should say. Last week, you have a little bit of rushing attack. You can allow the quarterback to breathe. It opens up space for the wide receivers. Jaden Higgins finally gets a touchdown. The rookie wide receivers have been dying for ball attention, and they haven't been getting it. You saw it a little bit last week. It's the small steps towards the right direction. I can't guarantee it's going to happen today, because this is so much of a trap game if you're a Texans better. It's minus one right now in favor of Houston
on
Hard Rock
Bet. You just don't know what to expect.
I cannot touch this game as a Texans fan or even as a third-party fan. Knowing the history of the Houston Texans, but knowing the injuries on the Ravens, it's completely even in my mind. I think the line is completely where it's supposed to be, and I wouldn't touch it right now.
Kate Chums and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Other games that I'm interested in today are 2 and 4 o'clock slate. We'll start in Seattle. Buccaneers are going literally across the entire country. They're taking on the Seattle Seahawks, who we haven't seen in just about 10 days since they played on Thursday Night Football. They're 3-1. Buccaneers, 3-1, have made a living off of coming from behind, you know, a late game heroics. They sort of, you know, hit the unstoppable force, faced the immovable object last week when they took on the Eagles, tried to do the same thing after getting down by 3 scores early in the game. And they had a chance, but they sort of squandered it. They fall to 3-1 here. I think this is an interesting litmus test game in terms of the hierarchy of the NFC, because Seattle is a team where I look at them and I think 3-1 at this point, with the schedule they've had and the newness of the offense, new players, new pieces, they're trying to figure things out, new offensive coordinator. Being 3-1, they sign up for 10 times out of 10.
Absolutely.
But you still don't know where they are in the favor of the NFC. You really don't. Because that Steeler game, you could make an argument that that game was thrown away by Caleb Johnson not knowing the kickoff rules when they were 17-14 getting the ball back in the early part of the fourth quarter. They beat the Saints, okay, and they beat the Cardinals in a good game, but it was a game that they probably should have won more handedly than the score indicates. I don't really know how I feel about this team. You know the Buccaneers are good, but I'd say the same thing about Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has fallen behind every single team that they have played this year. And whether you think that they're great or not, whether you love Baker or not, that's not a formula that you should want to replicate week in and week out. I'm curious to see if the Buccaneers can get right, if they could travel on the road and win a huge game against a good NFC opponent, especially a team with extra rest. And on the other side, I'm curious if Sam Darnold can go at this Buccaneer defense and apply some pressure early.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have made the correct adjustments week in and week out. They just seem to not be able to put everything together. Look at their season so far. Back and forth game against the Falcons. Okay, division rival, week one, you get your kinks
nerves
out of the way.
Totally.
100%. Week two against the Houston Texans, you go down early, you get your way back in, and then you kind of just muddy up a very good defensive battle. You have to have a game-winning touchdown. You make it happen. Great. Let's get the offense back going early and often instead of having to rely on a last-second play. Against the Jets in week three, they go out scoring berate in the first half, and then they somehow just fall on their face in the fourth quarter. Jets get back in it. Special teams play for them. Little bit of a fluke. That whole week was a fluke when it came to field goals. Okay, in week four, let's get the defense in the second half a little bit tighter and then have the offense succeed in the second half, which you kind of saw against the Eagles. That game was, what, 24-3 in the first quarter,
It was bad.
Unbelievable first quarter, but then that defense really held strong in the second half, especially against Jalen Hurts, who didn't have a single completion, and then Baker kind of throws this offhanded,
uncharacteristic interception,
which actually gets tipped by the defender. Right. I think the pass itself would have been fine if a defender hadn't been right there in his face. I didn't necessarily mind the second half from the Buccaneers, so now
can they put 4 quarters together?
That's the point, because you've seen great plays in each of the first quarters, in each of the first 4 games, and so far they haven't been able to put everything together.
Commanders-Chargers is a 425, our Fox game. Chargers, who are at home at SoFi Stadium, which is not a home game, by the way. You saw that on Thursday Night Football. Whenever the Niners come into town and take on either the Rams or the Chargers, and the whole stadium is just flooded with red.
It's just a pretty venue.
It makes you feel sick for the St. Louis fan, where they ripped away football from that city just to put it in L.A., just for it to be an extra home game for the 49er fan every single year, or a Raider fan if they ever come into town. Point being, Chargers are at home today against the Commanders. The Commanders, who have not had Jaden Daniels, they have went 1-1 since with Marcus Mariota. And Jaden Daniels, who had a left knee sprain, is back. Now, Jaden Daniels, I saw a couple videos of practice this week. I'm not sure if he'll play with a brace, but he had a fat brace on his knee. It really hindered his movement. This is an interesting team, too. This is not a team that I've necessarily had a ton of major expectations for coming into the season, but you couldn't have predicted that Jaden Daniels would have went down. The Chargers are coming off a terrible loss at New York last week. You know they're going to try to get right. And the Commanders, on the other hand, also a bad loss to a Falcon team who you know, lost 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers 2 weeks ago. So this is both teams coming off bad losses. Jaden Daniels is finally healthy again. I'm curious on your thoughts, expectations of the Commanders, because I don't think that the way they organize their roster is very suitable for an 18-game season year in and year out. What I mean by that is I think they're too old, and I think they caught a lot of people by surprise. I think they had, you know, the pot of gold leprechaun luck last year, and the come from behind miraculous victories that they had. I just didn't think you could replicate what they did, and they've already faced a number of big injuries, including Daniels, Austin Eckler, go down the list. This is an interesting game too, because Commanders fall to 2-3. You're now looking around thinking, all right, well, what now for them? Because you got to dig yourself out of a hole. I'm curious, Kate, on your perspective of number one, Washington, and if you think we'll see anything today from them.
I love how, as a radio host, you ask your co-host, hey, what do you think, to just take the co-host point away from them in the next sentence that you say. Yes, this is an old roster that is clearly caught up to them. I think the injury to Austin Eckler in week two has also been hindering their offensive mobility, along with the Jaden Daniels injury. But you think about this game against the Falcons last week. Yes, it was a shootout for the Falcons. Bijan Robinson, guess what? He actually got the ball and had a phenomenal game. Michael Penix Jr. played well as well. But the Commanders were 1-8 on third down compared to the Falcons 6-12. In a four-quarter game, that comes back to hurt you a lot. So you're going to have to be better on third down. I'm not too concerned with the Commanders.
You're not.
If they can get healthy. That's the key for them. Can you get Jaden Daniels back 100%? Not 50%, not on a bad leg. Can you get him back 100%? Because you look at the division and you look at the schedule, I think there are a lot of winnable games left on the season for the Commanders. Again, you're going to have the Eagles in two of your last 3 weeks. But if you can get to 10 wins before you get to that week 16 game against the Eagles, I think you'll be doing just fine, especially since a lot of these other teams in the NFC, like the Falcons are, yes, 2-2, but I still don't trust the Falcons too much. And I think the Cardinals will go away. The NFC West is surprising a lot of people with the Seahawks being as good as they are.
Yeah, a number of good teams.
But I think the Commanders are in a decent spot to get that 7th or 6th spot in the NFC playoff
race. Yeah, here's what makes me a little nervous. Number one, the NFC East is playing the NFC North, so a lot of good teams there. So that also means they still have the Lions on the schedule. They still, whether you think the Bears have anything or not, they're going to be a trap game for a number of teams. They're going to have to deal with the Bears. They're going to have to deal with the Lions still. They've already played the Packers. And on top of that, their AFC opponent, the AFC division that they're playing, the AFC West, which is probably the best AFC division on top of that. So that means they're going to play the Broncos. They're going to play the Chargers like today. They're going to play the Chiefs. They got tough games. This is a tough schedule for them. And I'm thinking about this. Like, all of a sudden, let's imagine they lose today at Los Angeles, right? They lose today to the Chargers. They're 2-3. They get the Bears at Cowboys at Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions, Dolphins, Broncos. Is that the hardest schedule on the men? No, but at Cowboys, at Chiefs, Lions, Seahawks, even the Bears, those are tricky games. And especially if you're already hindered on the health side of things, this is the point of the season where they need to be the healthiest and they need to be their best versions, because if you sort of fall flat on your face after a lackluster first 4 weeks, first quadrant of the season, this is going to be a tough hole to claw out of, because if you're 2-3, you get the Bears next week. That is a Monday night game, and then you got the two road games, Cowboys and Chiefs, and the Cowboys are not going to be a pushover too, and the Cowboys play the Commanders tough. I would sit here and say that this is a difficult six-game stretch that the Commanders are starting. And number one, if we see any sort of sophomore slump continuing from Jaden Daniels, and he's just not as remarkable as he was last year, that would be bad for everybody involved. You're seeing it with Bo Nix. You're seeing it with a number of different players. I'm nervous about the Washington Commanders. I am. Because I think this is probably the most important four-game stretch of the season. At Chargers, Bears, at Cowboys, at Chiefs. You need to go 2-2. And I could see them not going 2-2 there.
I think they will go 2-2. I think they will quietly, like they did last year. I mean, Jaden Daniels was the heroics of last year, and we were all focused on him, but we didn't actually take the team of the Commander seriously till the very end.
Right.
I think that'll happen again this year. They will quietly go they'll go 500 through the middle of the season. The end of the year for them, they'll be able to get hot. Dolphins are an easy win. Broncos, I think, are beatable. Vikings, Giants, and then they'll probably win that Week 18 game against the Eagles because the Eagles won't need it.
That's a good point.
So that also might be a win for them. So I'm seeing at least 5 or 6 wins in that last 7-game stretch. I think they will quietly win some, lose some for the next 5 or 6 weeks. Like you said, the schedule gets a little tougher, and then by the end of the season, they'll be fully healthy and be able to make a run.
Yeah, most important part of the season, this point, because you're right, it evens out. Towards the end, and playing the Eagles at the last week of the season can be advantageous if they already have that number one seed locked up in the NFC. Looking too far ahead, that's Cade Chums and Colin Russo. Let's look ahead as to what the NFL slate, what the sports slate has in store for us. Let's do a little quick look presented by Jay Zolo and Associates.
Time now for a quick look presented by the QuickBooks Pro Experts at Jay Zolo and Associates. Since 1997, Jay Zolo & Associates has been helping Palm Beach County businesses with their accounting and bookkeeping needs. From expert QuickBooks services to getting your business finances in order, their team has the knowledge and experience to help.
Quick Look, presented by Jay Zolo & Associates, the leading certified QuickBooks Pro advisor firm. So what you have today in Week 5 of the NFL season, you have a game going on right now. The Cleveland Browns have the ball again, early second quarter, tied at 7. Against the Minnesota Vikings, Dylan Gabriel, his first ever start at quarterback, the third-round rookie. The circus is following Cleveland because every bad possession he has, people are going to be clamoring for Shedeur Sanders to replace him. So something to monitor there. As for other teams that have big games today, the Dallas Cowboys coming off a draw. A draw on Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers, sitting at 1-2-1. They take on the winless Jets. If there is a must-win game on the Dallas Cowboys schedule, it is today at the Jets. The Jets reeling. They kind of one good week, one bad week, one good week, one bad week to through 4 games. This is their good week. We'll see if the Dallas Cowboys can win a must-win environment game. We've talked about it. The Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. Talk about a team that has sort of lost their identity a bit in Houston, and a team that has lost all their players in Baltimore. No Lamar Jackson, no Roquan Smith, no Marlon Humphrey, a handful of other players questionable, including Kyle Hamilton. The Baltimore Ravens are going to be completely shorthanded in this game. Sitting at 1-3, you don't want to fall to 1-4. That might be too big of a hole to claw out of if you're Baltimore at home against Houston 1 o'clock. Going to the 4 p.m. slate, the Buccaneers sitting at 3-1, coming off their first loss of the season against the Philadelphia Eagles at home. They go all the way to Seattle, taking on the Seattle Seahawks, also at 3-1, coming off a long week. They played on Thursday night last week, and Sam Darnold and company looking to get to their stride. They've had a fairly easy schedule to this point. Are they for real? Are they not? You will see today against Tampa Bay a good measuring stick game for either side. The Commanders and the Chargers, Jaden Daniels is back healthy in the lineup at quarterback. He is taking on Justin Herbert and company, who are coming off their first loss. If you're thinking about a get-right game, keep an eye out for the Chargers today, sitting at 3-1 at SoFi Stadium over in Inglewood, California. They sit at 3-1. They're looking to build on some momentum after winning 3 straight division games in a row to open up the Chargers season. And to finish off the nightcap tonight, Patriots and Bills. I actually think the Patriots are going to play pretty well here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this won't age that well. But the Patriots have had a good couple of weeks here. Drake May and company, they should have beaten the Steelers a couple weeks ago if they didn't have a fumble issues. But they've been competitive, and they've had a couple good weeks here to build on some momentum. They're going to the Bills, taking on at Highmark Stadium up in Buffalo, the 4-0 Buffalo Bills. So we'll see if the Patriots, in a division that is never competitive, can maybe make that division a little bit more interesting. That was your quick look presented by Jay Zolo and Associates. Once again, the leading certified QuickBooks Pro advisor firm. Colin Russo, Cade Chums, presented by Hard Rock Bet. What we will do is we will take a timeout. But first, if you want to go see Miami play today and you want to enjoy a couple ice cold drinks on top of it, Miami's heading to Carolina and the ESPN West Palm Street team is going to be hitting the road at Big Shots in Vero Beach. Today, from 1 to 3 p.m., you can watch Miami take on Carolina and enjoy $15 Miller Lite buckets. Plus, they'll be giving away 2 tickets to the Miami football game, so come join us at Big Shots up in Vero and enjoy some ice-cold Miller Lights. You got to be 21 plus or older to participate. Please drink responsibly. Kate Chums and Colin Russo will do a little headline hierarchy. On the other side, it's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3.
Thank you.
Let's go scatter to west, right, tight. F left. 372 Y-Stick Z-Spot.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Well, if you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they are the type that fight for you. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Listen, don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Kid Chums, and with you at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. So what Kate Chumson does every week is he compiles five headlines from throughout the sports world, maybe football, maybe not this week, and he gives them to me blind in his random order, and I have to rank these 1 through 5 in terms of the biggest stories, biggest importance. 1 through 5, we'll see how I do. Let's do a little bit of it. Let's do a little headline hierarchy.
Five mystery storylines from the National Football League.
I thought this would be purposeful on Kate's part.
One Colin Russo hoping to not bury the lead.
This is not a big-time headline.
It's time for the headline hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
That's right, Colin. It's the headline hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. I'm going to give it to you straight. These are all five from the NFL. So don't have to worry about MLB playoffs, college football. All those are great. Looking forward to hearing your opinions on Russo and Rizzo tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Now, I'm curious. Don't say anything to this, and don't even give me a look.
Okay.
I'm curious if Mark Sanchez getting arrested in a hospital bed after he got stabbed in Indianapolis on Friday night. And that is a true story. I wonder if that's on the list, because that's going to be number one. But if it's not, I'm going to see how Kate does this. Because if Mark Sanchez, who for those who don't know the story, I mean, Mark Sanchez was a story, something comes out that he was stabbed, like stabbed, Indianapolis. I've been to Indianapolis, quite downtown. He got stabbed, and then all of a sudden, everybody's thoughts and prayers. And then it comes out that Mark Sanchez went after an Uber Eats driver or something like that after being intoxicated in downtown Indianapolis, and he went after the guy for double parking and then an unlawful entry of a vehicle. What? He was supposed to broadcast a game today. They called up Brady Quinn. He's recovering from his stab wound. Mark Sanchez is okay. Apparently, it was in self-defense. Nonetheless, I wonder if that's on the list. Go ahead, kid.
All right, might as well just do the segment for me. Here we go. Number one on the headline hierarchy. The Eagles wide receiver drama, in my opinion, has gotten out of hand. So if you didn't see, A.J. Brown, who has a terrible game as far as the stats go in last week's game against the Bucks, sends out this weird cryptic text about how you just move on. He's like quoting something. It looks like he's taking a screenshot of a page of a book or something like that. Well, I didn't really think this was much of it at the time. Obviously, they're 4-0. He's not getting the ball. He's complaining. Wide receiver drama like we see all the time. But this storyline hit First Take 5 for 5 throughout the week, and I couldn't believe it. He comes out. Reporters ask him, hey, what's going on? He says he let his frustration boil over, and the tweet was not necessarily directed at anyone in particular. But the fact that this story hit big-time headline markets for 5 straight days last week blew me away. Colin, do you take any of this with seriousness? What are your thoughts on the A.J. Brown wide receiver Eagles drama?
You know, it's funny. So here's my perspective on this. I just double-checked because I thought this was true. The Philadelphia Eagles, their red zone scoring, they're 100%, which means every time they enter the red zone, they score a touchdown. So there's number one. What are we complaining about? You're 4-0. You're 4-0. You've beaten three teams that are going to be in the postseason in Kansas City, the Rams, and the Buccaneers. Cowboys maybe too. You're 4-0. You've scored 30-plus points in 2 straight games. At a certain point, this charade only works if your team isn't any good. Because if A.J. Brown's so upset, the team is basically telling you that, hey, like, you want to be a part of this or not? Because we could still do this without you. I don't think they're going to give him that ultimatum, but that's how I look at it. What are they complaining about? If your individual accolades are that important, go to a bad team. Do you want to win? Do you want to be great? Sometimes you can't be both. You were great last year and you won. All right. You want to win the games? Your time will come. I cannot take this seriously when these players do this. This is going to be five. I'm going to start with the number five. Go ahead.
I agree with that one. I'm kind of over it as well.
You can't be 100%. If they stunk offensively, we could have a conversation. But they don't stink offensively.
I think Devontae Smith said it pretty well. He's like, listen, we're not getting the ball. We're a little frustrated. But the team's got to do what the team's got to do. He was very real about the whole situation. If you go back and watch Devontae Smith talk about it.
You want to contribute. I get it. You're a professional football player running, making a lot of money. You want to contribute.
You're running 200 yards for nothing, it seems like. When you run as a wide receiver, you're giving all your might and you're not getting the ball. I can see how it's frustrating. I thought Devontae Smith said it very well. Number two on the headline hierarchy, you just used up number five. The Brock Bauer situation has gotten a little more dicey for the Raiders. This is per Adam Schefter, quoting from ESPN.com. Raiders tight end Brock Bowers has been playing through a PCL injury and bone bruise on his knee that has impacted his performance and has put his status for today's game against the Colts in jeopardy. The Raiders are now 1-3. A lot of expectations for this team, given Tom Brady is now at the helm, Pete Carroll is in, Geno Smith, they drafted Ashton Jeanty, and we really haven't seen a lot of offensive production, and now they might lose their number one guy. Where do we go now when it comes to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I got a gut feeling that Las Vegas is going to play well today, and I think that they're going to give Indianapolis all they can handle. I'm not sure if they'll win, but I do think it'll be a competitive game. As for Brock Bowers, I'm a Brock Bowers fantasy owner, so I definitely know about the lack of production that we are seeing from his perspective. But the way I look at it is if they are under the impression that he needs a week off to just get his body right, and he sort of like is entering this nonstop cycle of barely healthy enough to play, so he does it. I would say play him because I want him to play. But I don't think whether he plays or not will be the determining factor in whether Las Vegas wins today or not. I think if Las Vegas can run the ball, and I think if Las Vegas' defense can show up in any capacity, I think that they could compete today. Now, the Indianapolis Colts are coming off a loss. I think that's something that you need to acknowledge, because teams coming off a loss are dangerous in the National Football League, especially when you're a good team. But whether he plays or not, I don't think changes the outcome of the game. He's a big player. He's a contributing player. He probably needs to be more involved. But I think the Raiders, it's more about, are they on their game for the week in terms of running the football, and does Geno Smith play well? I don't necessarily think it's a Brock Bowers thing. I'm going to put this at four. Wow. How about that? 5-4 to open things up.
Here we go. Number three for us. In my opinion, the game of the week is actually tomorrow night, Kansas City versus Jacksonville. I remember when we talked about the schedule release, you were so furious on how many primetime games the Chiefs were getting, or somebody, and you were like, Jacksonville's only getting one primetime game. And what is it? A Monday night game against the Chiefs. And you kind of like threw it away as if it was going to be a blowout. This game has turned intensely difficult for both teams to be able to overcome if they win or lose, right? Jacksonville sitting at 3-1, Kansas City sitting at 2-2. Jacksonville getting a pretty solid win last week against the San Francisco 49ers. Kansas City finally getting right back with a win against the Baltimore Ravens. You're getting two teams at their best right now, both in the AFC. Neither of them are division leaders. Colin, as a Jaguars fan, your thoughts on this prime time matchup?
So everybody keeps asking me if I got playoff fever for this Jacksonville team, and I'm a Jaguar fan. My answer is no, not yet, because I think this game will be very important in the scheme of it. Jacksonville never beats Kansas City. Now, I said the same thing last week, because Jacksonville never beats 49ers. Never beats them. And they played well. Jacksonville, by the way, has taken the most snaps this year with a lead in the National Football League. How about that?
That's crazy.
The most snaps by far. They didn't lead for the Bengals. They led the whole game for the Bengals. And they didn't lead for like the last 20 seconds. So they've basically led this entire season. Now, I think Jacksonville still has a lot of issues offensively, but the good news is they have an offensive-minded head coach, and they have talent, and they could run the football. So I think that every week Jacksonville gets further into the season, the more in tune the offense is going to get. Defensively, they're the first team in NFL history to have four straight games with three turnovers in each game, three turnovers forced. So you can't, let's forget that. You're not relying on that today. You can't. Not against this team. Kansas City does not turn the ball over at a high clip. You cannot rely on that today. Maybe one if you're lucky. Tomorrow night is going to be a big litmus test for if this Jacksonville team has playoff aspirations. Their next three games, they got three home games. Three home. Two home, and then London, which is a home game. Rams, Seahawks, Chiefs. You need to go, in my opinion, 1-2. 1-2 is not crazy to ask for. They win if they win tomorrow night, I'm okay. Then they're great. Then let's go 1-1 the rest of the way. I think Jacksonville has a chance to be really good. Lawrence is their biggest problem. If Lawrence starts to play better and gets a better feel for this offense, I think that team can be really, really good. But he is their biggest question mark, and that makes me nervous. Your quarterback should not be your biggest question mark. Defense is good. Offensive line is good. The running back is good. Your receivers stink. They got to get Travis Hunter more involved, but they'll take his time with him. People don't need to overreact about that. This is going to be a fascinating game. Fascinating game. And I think Jacksonville will play well. I do. I think that will be a close game, but I could totally see them losing because the Chiefs don't lose in the way that Jacksonville's going to try to hand the ball the game off. They did against San Francisco. They did against the Texans a number of times. They begged the other team to beat them. Kansas City would take that opportunity. You cannot do that. So we'll see.
You got to be able to score against the Chiefs.
I think they'll play well, though. I think it'll be a close game. I'm rooting for Jacksonville loosely. My body is expecting Kansas City to win.
Understood. Where's this on the headline hierarchy for this matchup?
Two.
Number two. Okay. You have 1-3 left headed into our last two headlines. Dylan Gabriel is making his first start for the Cleveland Browns.
Let's hope Mark Sanchez is number one. Go ahead.
Here we go. Your thoughts on Dylan Gabriel in the game so far? If we look at the score, the Cleveland Browns and Minnesota Vikings in London tied 7-7 with the Vikings having the ball with 3:24 left in the game. Dylan Gabriel so far, 7 of 11 for 43 yards and a touchdown. What were your expectations going into this game, and what do you think he's been playing so far?
Yeah, I have just a bad feeling about everything that's going on in Cleveland. It's getting too overpublicized. That's number one. Number two is, has there been a situation where, is there a worse situation you could possibly be in? The offense stinks. The franchise is already cursed. But this kid, Gabriel, who is sort of the second on the totem pole with Shedeur Sanders, the celebrity right behind him. If he has a bad three or four games, if he has an okay two games and then a bad two games, everybody's going to be clamoring for Shedeur because they want Sanders to get a rip. That is not fair for a rookie quarterback. I mean, you look all around the other league. I mean, these guys are getting 2 years, a year or two minimum. And this kid is going to get a month to see if he can sink or swim. I have a bad feeling about it. I'm rooting for the kid because it's a tricky situation. Whatever team drafted Shedeur was going to get the circus because the circus follows. And that's exactly what's happened. I think that Gabriel starting off pretty well is playing safe. But hey, if they're able to win the game, Cleveland doesn't win a lot of games. If they're able to show a little bit more prowess offensively, I think that would be a major victory for the team. The fact that the coaching staff started him before Sanders tells you that he has played better than Sanders in the offseason. But I hate the idea that this kid is not going to get a fair shot. I don't even think either of the two quarterbacks are going to get a fair shot. I think they will know one, both, or none by the end of the year. That's not fair with two different quarterbacks who are not going to get a full season apiece. This is going to be number three.
Very interesting. Dylan Gabriel looking to be the first Browns quarterback to win his first start since 1999.
Wow, how about that?
Quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns making their first starts are 0-16 since. 16 different first-time starting quarterbacks, 0-16 since 1999.
Wow.
Wild. All right, you have left the number one spot.
Please
for
be
last.
Mark Sanchez in Indianapolis.
We already spoke about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers facing the Seattle Seahawks today.
This is not Mark Sanchez. Go ahead.
That is not the headline. The headline is the jersey combo. I want you guys to take a look if you're streaming on ESPN West Palm on
this
YouTube.
Stinks.
You can see the jerseys.
Oh, my God.
The Bucs and the Seahawks are both going with throwbacks. This game is in Seattle.
Oh, nonsense.
It is the Creamsicles white version versus light blue retro Seahawks. I think this is a terrible uniform matchup.
This needs to be Mark Sanchez in Indianapolis getting into a.
What are we
supposed?
Okay, what are we supposed to talk about
on the street?
What are we supposed to talk about? That he's a bad person apparently, and he got drunk and he made an accident. There's not a headline in that. There's not a story to talk about with that.
Kid.
This is hilarious. This jersey combo is pathetic, and I don't think we should see it.
Thanks, and it has to be number one now because I was under the impression we'd be breaking down Mark Sanchez versus
what are we supposed to break down?
Uber Eats driver in Indianapolis.
What are we supposed to break down? It's hilarious because he gets arrested in his hospital bed.
Well, that's the problem. Because the first part of the story came out. This is number one, unfortunately. Forget this jersey combo does stink. I agree. Mark Sanchez is supposed to be doing the Indianapolis Colts game today against the Raiders. He's in Indianapolis. Have you been to Indianapolis, Cade?
I have not.
It is a quiet, quaint, downtown, walkable. There's not a lot going on.
So I've heard.
It's just like, it's a very chill metropolitan area. When the story first came out yesterday morning that Mark Sanchez got stabbed, he's okay, but got stabbed and he's in the hospital. I'm like, oh my God, Indianapolis? Did he get robbed? I've never seen anybody robbed in Indianapolis. Indianapolis? And then all of a sudden it comes out that there was a food delivery driver and Mark Sanchez, who was drunk, got upset that the guy double parked. So, and then one of the things he was charged with was unlawful entry of the vehicle. Did he try to get in the car? It's a fascinating, what? What a weird situation.
I think he needed GTA 6 to come out sooner.
Like, what is going on?
He had to take it into his own hands.
What is going on? Nonetheless. That was our headline hierarchy. Appreciate Kate for setting those up. We got to blitz the book. We got to make our picks against the spread. On the other side of things, as we send you off into your Sunday huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3.
Daisy right, Soli, blitz right, Travolta right, pumpkin left, alert Charlotte left, 0-1.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
You know, some of the great things of college sports is like 0-4 UCLA taking a 2 Penn State yesterday, winning that one. In their building, Penn State effectively knocked out of the playoff, in my opinion. But all this college sports action gets me jazzed for bowl season. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl is kicking off its 12th year this year. It's going to be Tuesday, December 23rd, 2 p.m., Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. It's going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the Group of Five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information can be found at BocaRatonBowl.com. Following on Twitter at Boca Bowl or Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as we inch closer to the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 23rd, Flagler Credit Union Stadium. All right, Kay, let's make some picks against the spread. How we do it is draft. So we have three picks apiece against the spread. We will draft it snake. Cade, who won last week?
I won last week, and I won big. I got 9 points. You only got 3. The right. Totals for all the right. Season, I'm at 24. You're at 11.
Yeah, not good, not good. All right, Cade's going to draft first. I'll go second, including a player prop for 4 points at the end. Let's get to it. Blitz the book, Hard Rock Bet. All right, Blitz the Book, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Cade, you're going to draft your one-pointer, then I'll draft my one-pointer. Go to the twos, then the threes, then your four-pointer would be the player prop. What are you starting out with?
You said the Las Vegas Raiders should play hard against the Colts. I disagree with you. Give me Indianapolis -7 on Hard Rock Bet right now. I think they play well.
All right, this is going to be my one-pointer. Patriots +7.5 tonight on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo. I am actually expecting a competitive game out of them, and they played well to this point. Go surprise some people. Make that division competitive for the first time in 25 years. That's my one-point pick. Cade?
You also said that the Dallas Cowboys absolutely need it against the New York Jets. Give me Dallas -1.5 against the Jets. People say the Jets should play well getting off of a really, really terrible loss. They're winless on the season. Dallas offense looks too good to me even without CeeDee Lamb. Give me the Cowboys.
I'm going to take the Lions -10 against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals stink. And I think if there's a team that is rolling in the right direction, it is Detroit. Detroit is probably going to put 35 points on them, and I don't think Cincinnati is scoring anything close to 25 points. So because of that, I'm going to take Detroit today -10 at Cincinnati. Yeah. Cade, your three-pointer is what?
Love that one. If there's another team that cannot seem to find the end zone, it is the Tennessee Titans. They're playing the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona, long week, staying at home. Their previous Thursday night football game was at home. This game, also at home, going against arguably the worst team in the NFL. It's Arizona -7.5 against the Titans. Give me the Cardinals.
Last game here. I'm expecting this to be a field goal game. Or favoring Tampa Bay. I'm going to take Tampa Bay +3.5 at Seattle. I know it's a tough place to play. Seattle's got a little bit longer of a week off, but I think with Chris Godwin finally healthy. He wasn't very involved last week. This is a game that I could see Tampa Bay coming in and surprising some people. That would be my three-pointer. I did want the Cowboy one, but you got that before I did. So Tampa Bay plus 3.5. Cade, was your player prop going to be? Has to be plus money.
I had Tampa Bay if you took one of mine, too, so I like that pick as your three. This Jacksonville-Kansas City game tomorrow, I think, is going to show us a lot of different dynamics from both teams. Mahomes hasn't really shown his legs too much this season. Get me Patrick Mahomes a rushing touchdown plus 375. Huge money here for you guys on Hard Rock Bet. Plus 375, Mahomes to get himself a rushing touchdown versus the Jaguars.
Wide receiver Quentin Johnson, anytime touchdown is plus 135. He has scored in every game this year outside of the game against Denver, where he's going against Pat Surtain. So because of that, I don't think Washington has somebody that could hold him down. Plus 135 to score at any point. Quentin Johnson, receiver of Los Angeles Chargers. That closes out our Hard Rock Bet Blitz the Book. Go download the Hard Rock Bet app today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Hard Rock Bet, you can make picks like we just did. You can parlay them together. Choose your futures. Choose your biggest picks against the spread, for the spread. Do player props, you name it. They have it available on the Hard Rock Bet app. Go download today, because the Discover page is what other users are putting together in terms of their parlays themselves, in terms of utilizing profit boosts and promo boosts. You could do it all on the app in one spot. Hard Rock's the place to be. You're going to be watching this stuff anyway, including the MLB postseason. Might as well sprinkle a little action on it. Have a little fun. Download today, Hard Rock Bet. It's offered by the Seminole Tribal Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling. Call 1-888-MINUTE. So stick around, because you got some Miami Dolphins pregame coming to you in just a couple of moments. Appreciate everybody staying aboard with myself and Cade as we send you off into your Sunday drive. Enjoy some NFL football today. Second half, we're entering halftime. Browns are trying to make a last-ditch effort to get a touchdown before they're in Minnesota territory, tied at 7, 16 seconds to go. But enjoy the Sunday of football. Enjoy the Sunday of MLB baseball postseason action. We'll catch our local programming this week. Theoretically speaking, 2 to 4. Russo and Rizzo, 4 to 6. Colin Russo, Cade Chumson saying so long. We'll see you next time. Sunday Huddle, ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.